from threat of a military strike to a deal in the UN Security Council in a few short weeks. Is there common ground on Syria? The five permanent members of the United Nations Security Council have agreed to a resolution requiring Syria to give up its chemical weapons. There's no punishment for Bashar al-Assad for what he has already done in this resolution, although ignoring it will make it easier for the UN to call for a military strike under Chapter 7 of the United Nations Charter. This is a first in two ways: cooperation between the U.S. and Russia for the first time, and the first really significant action on the conflict in Syria by the UN Security Council. With us on the line is Nancy Soderberg, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So how significant is this, and how much hard bargaining do you think it took to achieve it?
It's very significant, and it took a lot of hard bargaining. Having sat in that room at the UN Security Council arguing over commas and semicolons, every word and punctuation has meaning here, and it's an artful compromise between the U.S. and others' desire to have punitive actions to enforce the chemical weapons ban and the Russians' effort to weaken that. And they came up with a compromise that insists on the Syrians handing over their weapons in a verifiable way, but also threatens consequences should it fail to do so.
And those consequences would be under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter. Now, does that make it harder for the Russians to veto a resolution should Syria not comply with this one and we move to something else, something more serious?
Well, it'll be deja vu all over again. They'll be back to square one, because what this resolution does, if you look at the text of it, is normally a resolution like this would say acting under Chapter 7, determining that this is a threat to international peace and security, which is UN speak for the threat of the use of force. And it doesn't do that. All it says is underscoring that member states are obligated to carry out the Council's decisions, but with no Chapter 7 authority. But it does determine that the chemical weapons use constitutes a threat to international peace and security. And the second to last paragraph says that it's willing to decide later to impose measures under Chapter 7, but unspecific about what those are. So should this fall apart and the Syrians not comply, the permanent five members, primarily the U.S. and the Russians, will be back drafting another text and most likely never agree on the use of force in this instance.
In your understanding of Security Council permanent member politics, do the Russians have to deliver something now, or is it just up to the Syrians to deliver and the Russians can kind of shrug their shoulders?
A little bit of both. This puts the onus clearly on the Syrian government, and it requires the Syrian government to turn it over. It makes it clear that no one outside the Syrian country is allowed to provide any kind of assistance on chemical weapons to the government actors or non-government actors. It's a tip of the hat to the rebels not being allowed to have these either. And there's no specific blame laid in here, but it does go through the international commitments that the Syrians have already filed with the UN, signing the protocol for the Chemical Weapons Convention in 1968, listing all the times that the Syrians have committed to the obligations to the chemical weapons ban. And so the clearly implication is that it's up to the Syrian government to comply with this effort. And it talks about the expeditious destruction of the Syrian Arab Republic's chemical weapons program. Doesn't mention anything about the rebels' program. So with the Russians, they've delivered the Syrian yes to this, and now they will be the world will look to Russia to deliver on that yes.
Certainly.
That said, it's important to remember that 100,000 people have died in this civil war, not by chemical weapons use. And so the tail end of this resolution has a very interesting plug for the Geneva communique from last June that lays out key steps to begin to establish a transitional governing body, which would include also the opposition. And that's the rub. Will we need the threat of the use of force to get that agreement moving? My bet is yes, we will. It was clear that it was only the use of force that changed the dynamic on the use of chemical weapons, and that the hardest part here will be to keep the focus on getting a resolution to this ongoing civil war. And that is very unclear what's going to happen. Whether the Russians will be helpful on that remains very much to be seen. You have to remember the Russians still continue to argue that the rebels were responsible for this, not the government, which is really contradicted very directly in this resolution. So even they know that they can no longer cling to the false claim that the rebels were responsible for the attack.
So question marks going forward, but we are moving forward. Nancy Soderberg, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.